Jack.
This is Adrian.
This is Justin.
And this is Log Lady on Street Level.
Advantages of a three-man band.
Less is more, to some extent. Less clutter.
Yeah, you definitely got more place to play around with. You have a little more freedom with your individual part. With only three.
But it's easier to communicate, because you don't have to worry so much about sticking to a specific thing in order to cooperate with the group.
Do you think it gives more improvisational opportunity?
Definitely. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's freer for each individual. Like, I mean, a two-man band gets even more free because there's just even more space to fill out, you know? And when you just got the, four people, five people, you start to have to really be organized in everything that you do to get it to sound tight, you know? You kind of even have an easier time, gluing it together.
The times I've heard, or been in the audience when a lot of other plays, there's been one constant, is that your music seems to immediately polarize people. They're either completely with it, or not digging it. And most of the people who are completely with it are older.
Yeah,
and you're consciously doing that. I mean, when you started out that last show with Politician, that was, I think, a statement of some sort. What's the statement?
Well, I think the reason why that is that we're not our sound. What we're really going for isn't like the next newest coolest thing. Like what's on really like. There's sort of an idea of what's cool and mainstream, you know, and like young people are kind of like, a lot of people feel like they have to be on the cusp of that, you know, and a lot of people in bands that play music are trying to reach that sort of ideal, you know, they're trying to attain to be on the cutting edge and to be the newest, what's hip, what's cool, you know. And, you know, our viewpoint is that, you know, what we think is cool is that older stuff. Like, we think that is cool, and we're just going to let it speak for itself. Like, and you can kind of hear, like, there's some influence from that time period, like, kind of the classic rock, you know, some of this more power trio type stuff. You can see that influence today in the new music, you know.
Yeah.
But it's...
You guys are overt about it.
Taking what I've got.
We want to be the reset button for the Lawrence music scene.
I think that there's just stuff that people don't listen to that they should hear, you know, because it's good, it sounds good, and people, you know, get caught up in what they listen to all the time, and, you know, that's why a lot of younger people don't understand it, is because younger people aren't listening to the older stuff like Cream and whatnot, so I think that it's healthy for them to understand that music, because that's why the stuff they listen to sounds the way it does. It's a building block, you know, of what's developed in rock and roll, and we enjoy it, and that's why we play it.
Do you think that there's a lot of musicians today are tending towards being a rock star rather than being a musician?
Oh, well, that's... I mean, it's become such a an idealized thing. I mean... And it's just kind of taken the whole idea of being a rock star. I mean, now there's all kinds of people like walking around that look like rock stars that don't even play music. Like the whole idea, and like everybody wants to be a rock star. It's really, it's really kind of a pervasive kind of.
It's a fashion.
It is. It is. And I mean, it's a very like, a lot of people are into the idea. The idea has gotten bigger than. Then really what it came from was like playing music and kind of being a little bit rebellious, you know, with that idea and you know, trying to break some norms, you know. But of course, just like everything else, is that it becomes just another norm, you know, like the rock and roll ideal is so copied and everything that it is another norm now.
Jack, what do you think of the Lawrence scene?
You know, I mean, it's a good scene. We got some great bands, but this is what got us talking about is that we just really wanted, sometimes we go to a bar just to see, like, a hard rocking band that had some guys that could play their instruments, and we just weren't seeing a lot of those, and that's what got me and Adrian talking about doing something like that, just something that was in your face and a little different, but, you know, still just musically grounded.
Any other guys in town doing anything like that? That you respect?
There's a lot of bands we really like.
Oh yeah,
and the Volunteers and Kinetics, the Yards,
Cosmopolitics,
Rock Arsana. You know, those guys, all of them are great.
Aren't you in charge of the MySpace page?
Yep.
There's a lot of sexy stuff on there.
Mm-hmm.
Is that all you?
Oh yeah.
I've heard several times. I've heard you guys called cock rockers.
That's good. We like that. We like that. We like that. We want to have the music real ballsy. That's what we think. How ballsy can we get this song? How blatantly over macho.
I mean, sure. It's. I mean, you know, you gotta sell it somehow.
A lot, or starting to book more gigs.
Yeah.
And talking about some recording.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You have a studio, which
we
you
have
built.
A studio that we built, and we record all of our own stuff. And so we're gonna continue to do that. We're also writing a lot of new music. Like we have about, you know, 10 originals going right now, and we're steaming forward. So like there's gonna be a lot of new stuff to record in the near future. So, you know, probably in the next year, an album, you know, like, will be something we're really focusing on.
You gonna shop it or self-release?
Not quite sure. I do like the self-release. Like, I really like the do-it-yourself kind of thing. We wanna do some touring. So, you know, I think this one we might lean towards a self-release, and you know try to go and play some other cities and you know build up a little bit of a regional fan base.
The Randy Cowboy. He's got his lasso. He said it for you. He said it for you, yeah. Here comes Randy. Into the bar. Into the bar. He sees some ladies. But he keeps on.
Are you looking to make a career out of it?
It'd be nice to, you know, but you know, we'll work as hard as we can right now.
Everybody's got day jobs.
Yep.
Oh yeah, you got to. Yeah, but that's pretty much the reality of. I mean, that's another thing about the rock and roll ideal is, I mean, how many people that become rock stars actually make a whole lot of money doing it and get to be as, you know, glamorous as what everybody looks up to? The reality is that it's not that glamorous, and I mean, it's a lot of hard work that you know. If you're going to be a musician in this world and be a working musician, I mean, it's a working man's job. It's not
a lot of schlepping.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and you got to like to do it. You got to love to play music. And that, you know, that's really what we're about. We want to be, we're a musician's band. we want to bring that, you know, the bands that we idolize and look up to, you know, from the past. And all the rock and three pieces since all kind of have that character. Of they were really good musicians, and they were trying to just really rock hard, but at the same time, like, it was cool, it was something on the cusp, but they were no slouches, you know? They knew their music well.
How many hours a week do you put in, devote to Log Lady?
Just a band, about between 6 to 8. For just the band, but then, you know, we all practice outside of that too. Yeah, I practice at least every day for a little bit, even if it's just for 15 minutes.
I mean, it's, you know, we work during the day and we play music at night. That's what we do every day.
You still playing an unplugged electric guitar?
Oh yeah, for at least an hour a day. I don't know, I like how an unplugged guitar sounds. I like how you can get little flicks and needles out of it and stuff and make the strings click. So, I don't know, it's kind of fun. It's easy to pick up and play too, just sitting around and play anywhere.
On stage you rip off some amazing things, but quite often I think that you're on autopilot, that you're, because I've seen you watching TV while you in the middle of a, or looking at the TV in the middle of a solo.
I just practice a lot.
That's the key.
He's got nimble fingers.
Yeah, I can just zone out and play for a while sometimes.
Singer that only sings.
Three piece unit. Cream, West, Bruce, and Lane. Remember that one? That was Jack Bruce.
I need to check that out.
Leslie West from Mountain.
Uh-huh.
And Corky Lane from, I can't remember where. ZZ Top.
Uh-huh.
Police. Grand Funk Railroad. Jimi Hendrix Experience.
Yeah.
Nirvana. Then there's modern ones like Blink 182 and Green Day.
Uh-huh.
Who else?
Primus.
That's
the first one. Rush.
Neil Peart, big deal?
yeah, everybody thinks about him.
Definitely a big deal.
Meat Puppets? Were they a three-piece unit?
They were. Firehose. I'm a Mike Watt fan. Minutemen.
Yeah, we do a Cream song, and we do a couple Zappas, and then we do...
Otis Redding.
The rest are originals?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we play more originals than covers.
Are we that cubby in the business?
We're not above playing covers. I mean, covers are great, but what we try to do with covers is pick a cover that, you know, is a song that... maybe wasn't even a super big hit in its day, you know, but was just a kick-ass song, you know, and it needs to be, you know, those are the kind of songs that are so good. I mean, they need to be heard some more, you know, so we try to find those type of covers to do. Mm-hmm. Lesser known, really good songs that we like, you know.
It's the covers that attract a certain demographic to your music, who are feeding off the nostalgia of it, but there is a modern sound. There's a futurism to Log Lady.
You know, we grew up in the modern times, and so I mean, we love everything, and from, you know, music, just the entire history of music, all kinds of stuff from.
I mean, we'll listen to 30s jazz or 90s rock or 70s funk and listen to some new stuff. We all listen to Radiohead, you know, a lot, and Beck.
I mean,
that new stuff.
There's so much good stuff, and how can you limit yourself, you know? I mean, our band, what we've tried to go for is kind of, you know, this older kind of retro thing, but, you know, growing up the way we did and listening to everything that we have, it definitely gets in there, and there's a modern. Yeah,
we all grew up listening to Smashing Pumpkins and Nirvana and a whole grunge here. And,
oh yeah, Sublime.
Yeah.
Are you all Midwesterners?
No, I'm not.
You're from Louisiana.
Yeah, I'm from Louisiana.
And you?
Me and Justin are both from Kansas.
Kansas.
Well, he's from Oklahoma.
Yeah, I was born in Oklahoma, but
you've known each other since kindergarten in Lecompton, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
How was it growing up in Lecompton?
Well, it wasn't too bad, you know.
Peaceful.
Not so bad. Yeah, it's a peaceful place, despite its bloody past.
Yeah.
It's quite a little quaint town now.